This is the Past Lives Podcast, episode 81. I'm your host, Simon Baum. My mission here at the Past Lives Podcast is to investigate evidence that demonstrates survival of the human soul. We will look at past life memories, near-death experiences, spirit communication, and other incredible phenomena. I produce bonus episodes every week for patrons who sign up to the $5 tier on Patreon. There are also occasional extended versions of the free one-hour episodes. There are now over 20 bonus episodes and several extended episodes. You can get the back catalogue and the new episodes if you Google for patreon.com/pastlivespodcast or click on the button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. There is a Past Lives Podcast Facebook group, and if you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. A few weeks ago, I put out a request on the Facebook group for listeners' experiences. I believe that a lot of people have all sorts of paranormal things happening around them, and I thought it would be fascinating to hear some of these things. Several people got in touch with me with their stories, so I'll be reading them for you. But first of all, I thought if I'm going to be asking for your experiences, it would only be fair if I tell you about one of mine. So I'm going to talk about a past life regression that I did just a couple of years ago. I have found throughout my life that there have been times where I might have wanted to see a medium or do a past life regression or something like this. And what I've found is that over time, there seems to be a push to do it. The idea will come to me that maybe it's time to do one of these things again after I haven't done it for a couple of years. And there has been suggestions throughout the podcast that perhaps there are spirit guides or my higher self is pushing me into doing this and that these things happen to all of us. So I decided that I would do a past life regression, and I looked around my local area to find somebody who looked really good, and I found a hypnotherapist who'd been trained in quantum healing hypnotherapy technique, and she'd actually been trained by Dolores Cannon. So after the initial discussion with the hypnotherapist, I laid down on a couch with a blanket over me. I was taken through a progressive hypnosis induction, where first of all I was physically relaxed and then mentally relaxed. I was soon asked to picture myself in the sky above the clouds and to look down. Pretty soon I saw a parting in the clouds, and below me was a large town. It was on a coast and was built right up to the edge of the water. It had lots of small alleyways and canals. I got the impression it was Italy in the 17th century, possibly Venice. The hypnotherapist asked me to descend, and I did. I found myself in what looked like a large town square with four-story buildings painted in muted pastel colours. I could feel the heat of the sun on my face. I was female, aged approximately 25 to 30. I was wearing an elaborate brown dress. My hair was tied up in a complicated way with jewellery amongst it. And I remember being aware of the shoes. They were black and had a big square buckle. They reminded me of Quaker shoes, and I thought, this can't be right, they don't look like women's shoes. It just seemed that the dress seemed so expensive and elaborate, but the shoes were so clunky and plain. I later did a Google image search for 17th century Italian women's shoes and found a picture of a pair of shoes that looked almost identical. And this was for me, in some small way, some type of verification. To the left of me there was a small arch and a pair of big wooden doors set in a wall. I went through the doors and found myself in a dark chapel. There was a priest standing to my right. I handed him a rolled up piece of paper. He opened it and read the message. He did not look happy. I did not know what the message was, and I was not interested either. My job was to deliver the piece of paper to the priest. No words were spoken, and I left the chapel. As I left the chapel, I started to head down the wide alley at the end of the square to the water. The water here was like a large lake, it was not one of the canals. There was a small boat there with two men waiting. I got the impression the men were employees of my father, and I come from a rich family. I step into the boat with the help from one of the men, and I sit and relax with a parasol over me. And the men get to work and the boat starts to move. I have a relaxed, leisurely trip back to a house. There is a small private mooring for the boat. I step out and make my way into the garden, and then on to the house. The garden is very well manicured, and I get the impression of an elderly gardener who is very protective of his garden. Even though he's an employee, everyone in the family is fearful of damaging anything because he has quite a temper. I enter the house and my father is there. I walk past him and he says nothing. There is an understanding that the message has been delivered. The house is light and it looks like the house of a well-off family. Not super rich, but doing well. I get the impression that I spend the days reading and sewing and making things that I like. At this point, the hypnotherapist asks me to move forward in time a little bit just to see what happens next. And I find myself at the dinner table. I'm there with all the family. There seem to be two or three more siblings. But I don't get a clear image of them in my mind. My mother is strong and very clever, but she knows my father is the leader of the household. And he is angry about something. Not at the family, but he is letting off steam at the table. Something has annoyed him and he is shouting. I get the impression this happens a lot. So at this point the hypnotherapist asked me to move forward in time again, but this time to a significant event. So it's my wedding day. I've been married to a rich man's son in a deal to join the families and their fortunes. I am very unhappy. I feel betrayed. My father, the exact person who should have defended me and made me feel fundamentally safe, has abandoned me. I am part of a business strategy, nothing more than some sort of inanimate asset to be used as a means to make money. The message I delivered to the priest was the confirmation of the wedding, and he didn't approve of the union. I am sitting alone at a large table. It is the evening and everyone has moved on into some kind of party mode. There is a lot of wine being drunk. All the men are dressed in black. The hypnotherapist said this may be a metaphor or something because of my dark mood. I can somehow feel the wedding dress as I lie on the hypno couch. It's almost like being in two places at once. The top part of the dress around my torso is tight and tough. I could tap my knuckles on it and it would make a knocking sound. The bottom of the dress around my legs is soft. I feel that my personality in this previous life loves the dress. She is thinking, how can I be so unhappy and experiencing the worst day of my life and be in such an amazing dress? It seems as though everyone at the wedding has gone to their friends and social groups and they are having fun. I have been left alone. Perhaps it is clear that I am in a foul mood. My family are nowhere to be seen. So now I flash forward again. This time I am upstairs in my bedroom with my new husband. He is drunk and a very arrogant young man. I do not like him at all. He has a very condescending attitude to women. As he tries to kiss me, I back away and start shouting at him. He finds this hilarious, that a woman should in any way think they could have a say in anything. I try to hit him with both hands and he grabs hold of my wrists. He throws me on the bed. And I think of the dress and how amazing it is. I shout at him, "You have no sense of beauty in the universe." He tries to get on top of me, but he is so drunk I can push him off quite easily. He seems to lose interest and is soon asleep. I go to the window, open it, and jump. I make sure I fall face first to be sure of death. A moment later, I am looking down at my dead body. I see the blood. And my first thought is, oh no, I've ruined the dress. I'm not in a body, but a ball of light. And the ball of light shrinks and suddenly I shoot off across the countryside. I go from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour in a split second. I find myself at a small house. Inside there is a man alone drinking some wine. He's very unhappy. And it's this moment I realise that this is her true love. And that it was the man that she really wanted to marry. And then I leave, and I start to float up, and I go back into the clouds. The hypnotherapist asks me to ask my higher self, what was the purpose of this life? What was the lesson? The answer is that it was about learning about trust. She asks me, if I was to imagine a life sometime in the past for myself, would it be this? And I can say safely it is not something that I would ever think up for myself. And so the question I ask myself is this life a reality? Did this person actually exist? I found the picture of the Italian shoes on Google that was in some small way a confirmation for me. 17th century Italian women's shoes is not a subject I've ever had an interest in, so I don't see that I would ever have seen pictures of them. And then there were the physical feelings. I felt as though I was in two places at once. I could feel the dress, how it felt when sitting at the table. And lastly, I have to say that this was an emotional experience, not just a slight feeling of unhappiness, but real intense sadness. And I asked myself, where did those feelings come from? If this was just my imagination, why was it so powerful? So now I'll move on to some of the experiences listeners have sent to me. First of all, I want to read you the experiences sent to me by Neville. He says this: before I share my experience, I thought it's important to understand where I come from. In other words, my upbringing and background. I've noticed many of the people you interview on your podcast tend to start with the same level of disclosure, not only in an effort to provide context on their experience, but also likely to explain why they had a lack of understanding or appreciation of their experiences, as it does not fit into the realm of understanding of how things are. By that I mean I was literally a born and bred Christian from before I could even walk. Being born in South Africa, a country dominated by colonialism, be it English, French or Dutch, one inherently came out the other end a Christian after birth by indoctrination. In retrospect, it's not healthy. However, I guess a lot of good came from this, as the values you grow up by as a Christian in its purest form is a positive one. I found myself in church 3 days a week, be it youth days on Wednesdays, Sunday sermons and Sunday school, or later in life, Thursday Bible study. My motivation was misplaced, however, as I realised at an early age it was a great vehicle to allow me to catch up with school friends and court girls, which led me to attending Dutch Reformed Church, Anglican Christian Church, and even the only Catholic church in our suburb. That aside, I figured out by the age of 5 at a weekend-long Easter conference I didn't really fit into the belief system, and that it wasn't for me despite going through the motions for years after. The important bit to take from this is, my upbringing was actually very traditional. It was Christianity, and there was no B option or alternatives available to explore. As such, any experiences or events I might have had in context of being a Christian was dismissed by myself or my family when I spoke about it as nonsensical. So now we'll move forward to what Neville writes about as his experiences. He says, two recurring dreams have stayed with me for 30 plus years. I have a small number of experiences that lead me to believe that there was something else before I even knew what that something else was. And I know it was formative, as now, years later, I still recall the emotion I felt, and even some visuals of what I perceived. It stayed with me 30 years later, despite telling but one person in my entire life. The first happened when I was around 13 years old. I had a number of nights in a row a recurring dream of a boy. He closely matched my age, but was dressed like someone would have dressed from the 50s, maybe 60s. He told me in my dream that he had been killed, and he wanted my help to assist him to find out how and why. I obviously took no notice of it the first time around, but the dream became recurring and continuous for a number of days over a period of time. The second, around the same age, I had a recurring dream for about 5 years or maybe longer. Sometimes the setting changed slightly, but the dream stayed the same. I was being chased by men dressed in military gear with dogs. I could only ever capture a glimpse of them as I was too busy trying to get away. I remember vividly that I was going through wet, muddy trenches. I was going uphill, and they were barbed wire or bladed wire. They always caught up with me, and that's where the dream ended. More than anything, I could recall the smell, the wet air, the noise of those behind me, and my panic as I knew I was not getting away. As I got to my late teens, both dreams stopped, and I haven't had them since. Only after I left South Africa and moved to Australia have I started exploring and discovering that there is a lot more than Christianity and Christian religion, and it opened my eyes to what these experiences could have actually meant. About 6 years ago, I discovered the work of Michael Newton and read all his books, followed by a lot of informal reading and research, including YouTube videos of Michael and other therapists talking about meditation and self-hypnosis. I tried this a couple of times, but my senses take over. I kept practicing until one day I got to a point where I was likely between an awake and asleep state. I found myself in a hut or wooden cabin, no bigger than 4 meters by 3 meters. It had a doorway but no door. It had a bed or bench affixed to a wall on the side where I could look out. I was lying on this, and outside I could see water and boats. A young man came in and crouched by my side and held my hand, saying, "I have to go now, but I'll be back." It's strange. I knew I was his father, and I knew we would not see each other again. It was really vivid. I could feel I was frail and didn't move as he was by my side. He turned and walked out. At that stage, I jolted myself back to my senses, obviously freaked out and wondering whether I made it up. It's a very unlikely scenario for me to make up, as it's not in context of anything I've ever experienced, and I have not had kids, so it stayed with me all this time. This, more than anything, made me want to do a past life regression to see whether it can be validated, or even the recurring dreams can be understood better. Well, that's it from me, probably not the most exciting experience you've read of, but it's very significant in me finding my path and finding your podcast. All the best, Neville. Thanks a lot, Neville, for the dreams and the experience you had where you did the self-hypnosis. It does seem like some kind of past life regression you're getting there, and it'd be fascinating to hear back from you if you do have a past life regression and you get more information. So the next experience that was sent to me is from Valerie. She says this: "Hello, I hope this gets to you in time, but I wanted to share my experience of how I started my spiritual journey for your podcast. I'd also like to add that I love your podcast and I've caught up on all the episodes, and I have signed up to Patreon to help a little. Thank you very much, Valerie. As a child, my mother raised me in a Christian church. It wasn't until I was 16 I got heavily involved and believed in everything they told me, but I could never understand how much hate they had against certain things. I felt that wasn't my God that they preached about, so I left the church and just started doing research of my own. Fast forward to when I was 21, I was going through a really hard time with depression and work-related things, and I remember reading that if you really need help, then right before bed, ask your spirit guide every night to guide you in your dreams, and if you really need help, they will come. So every night for 2 weeks I did, until finally I had a dream that started it all. In the dream I was arguing with the same co-worker who was always being so rude to me, and I started crying in my dream. I remember I was outside, but I heard footsteps and I looked up. At this moment is when I realised it was only a dream, and it was all fake, but this person who was walking up to me was different. I will never forget that she had a blue attire, and forgive me if I sound wrong, but she looked Indian, with bright blue crystal on her forehead and beautiful flowing robe, and she was smiling. At first I was scared, because I knew she was a spirit, but wasn't sure who she was. It wasn't until she got closer that she looked into my eyes, and without moving her lips I heard her in my thoughts, and she said, "Do not worry, everything is going to be okay." And she hugged me so tight, and that's when I knew she was a good spirit. I hugged her and started crying into her shoulder, but as I was crying I noticed we started going in circles up into the sky, and I remember looking up and being so amazed, because my dream no longer looked like a dream, it looked like it was 4D, as if I was wide awake and I saw everything clear as day, but I wasn't scared. I remember she took me into this huge room that looked like a library with long tables, and I saw a lot of people talking amongst themselves, and she walked me into this room and told me to change. When she shut the door, I saw around the room and it was full of mirrors. and I was in awe because what I saw, and this may sound funny, was me, but how I've always wanted to see myself, nice and fit, and I couldn't believe it. Well, I ended up getting woken up by my husband, and I remember getting so upset that he woke me, and I've never had a dream like that again. Forward to 5 years later, I started researching more and started reading up on near-death experiences. Then it went into hypnosis and past life regression, which led me to Dr. Michael Newton's book, Journey of Souls. I read it with an open mind, of course, but I couldn't believe what I read, because in that book, Dr. Newton wrote about exactly what I saw in my dream 5 years prior. He talked about the room that looked like a library with long tables, and anyone could think it's just a coincidence, right? But when he spoke about the rooms that were also in there with the mirrors, I could not deny that what I had experienced in my dream was real. And he also spoke that these mirrors, you look into them and they show you what you want to see. From then on, that's when I had my spiritual awakening, as they say, and I've never looked back. I asked myself, how is it that what I saw in my dream is in a book I'm reading about it 5 years later? That's insane. Also, it wasn't only Dr. Newton who spoke about the library either. Also, Dolores Cannon spoke about it as well. So that was more validation for me. That's one of my stories I wanted to share, and even if it doesn't make it into your podcast, it's nice to share it with someone who has an open mind and is also a believer. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to hearing your future shows. Thank you. Thank you, Valerie, for sending in this experience. It is fascinating that you saw something that was later described in the books by Michael Newton. I think that this may be, in fact, verifying what you saw. You say at one point you realised that your perception was 4D and everything was very clear. It sounds more like an out-of-body experience than a dream, but I've no way of knowing that for sure. It does look like what happened changed your life in some way, and maybe that was the purpose of you receiving all this. Maybe your higher self or spirit guide, or who was ever in charge of all this, wanted you to have something special. So now I'm moving on to the next experience that was sent in, and this lady wanted me to keep her name private. So I'll go straight into the message. In summer 2001, I was trying to get pregnant, and it was taking almost a year. It had taken a year with my first daughter, and I was getting anxious. I had a dream where both of my deceased grandfathers came to me. In the dream, I asked them if I was going to get pregnant. They said I would, but that it wouldn't work out. But that I shouldn't be upset over it for long because something better was coming after some scary difficulties. Then they hugged me and said I wouldn't see them for a very long time because something terrible was going to happen in the world and they had to go and fight the bad guys. I wrote down my dream and forgot about it. 9/11 happened. I have another psychic experience about that, but it happened to my elder daughter, not me. I remembered the dream then and wondered if that's what they were talking about. I got pregnant in November 2001. My parents were excited and were telling everyone, but I felt uneasy about it. At this point, I didn't consciously remember the dream, but I must have subconsciously. I told them it was too early to tell everybody. January 2001, I miscarried. The doctor told me to wait a few months before trying again, i.e. to use birth control. But I didn't listen and I got pregnant in February. Unfortunately, I started bleeding almost immediately. The doctor told me I was probably going to miscarry again, but there was nothing I could do about it. The first trimester was hell. I was about to go on vacation, and he told me I needed to be near a hospital in case I miscarried, but that other than that, that I should try to go on vacation and just relax. He said when I got back, I'd have my first sonogram. I bled on vacation still, but when I got back, I had my sonogram. The doctor laughed with relief and told me the baby was fine. I was bleeding because of a large blood clot. It had nothing to do with her and it wasn't dangerous. I had my daughter in November 2002 and today she's a beautiful, strong, smart 17-year-old. I haven't ever dreamt of my grandfathers again. I guess they're still out there fighting bad guys. It was great of you to send in this experience. I wonder what your grandfathers meant by fighting the bad guys. Getting a powerful message from them must have been quite emotional. And I'm glad to hear that your daughter is 17 and very healthy and strong. So the next experience is from Carla. What she says is this. Here's a paranormal story for you. About 8 years ago, my great aunt passed away. She was originally from Greece, and on the day of her funeral, myself and a few others were in the grocery store picking up some things for after the ceremony. We paid for our groceries in cash, at a register where your change is automatically calculated and spit out from a machine into a little bowl for you. Upon receiving our change, we noticed that there was a single coin from Greece, a drachma, which is a currency that has been replaced by the euro, and it had the year of my great aunt's birth on it. To think of all the things that had to fall into place to get that particular coin there with that date, that exact moment in time for us to be the ones to receive it, is truly mind-boggling, and we can only take it as a sign that my great aunt was saying hi and letting us know she is okay. Well, thank you, Cara, for sending in that experience. That is one of those kind of amazing synchronicities, isn't it? This kind of thing has been discussed a few times with different guests on the podcast. Teresa Chung and Sharon Rawlett come to mind. There are many that are convinced synchronicities are a way for past loved ones to communicate. I have linked up with Audible so that you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. Many of the guests that have been on the Past Life podcast have books available on Audible, including Dr. Eben Alexander, Dr. Bani Sartori, and Wendy Rose Williams. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/Past Lives Podcast. This next experience is from someone who had a past life regression and wanted to describe it. They have asked me not to use their name. They talk about two very different lives they viewed through the session. After going through the hypnotic induction and guided to a past life, she was asked what was the first thing she saw. This is what she said. I was outside and I just got out of a cab. It was raining and it was a busy road. I was looking up at my old house. I knew this was France. I could see the light was on in the window. I had this build-up of adrenaline. I was preparing to do something. I didn't feel scared. It was a feeling of, okay, I'm going to go and do this, and I'm not going to regret it. I had a bag hanging on my arm, and I had red leather gloves on. I had a 30s wavy hairstyle. I later looked on Google at the fashion, and it was the 30s. I had a pink kind of scarf. All my clothes were pink, I remember. I had seams up the back of my tights. My shoes were dark maroon heels that were not too high. In my bag, there was a gun. It was a revolver, and I had 4 or 5 bullets loaded in a random way, almost like it was set up for Russian roulette. I remember I could feel the weight in my bag. I could hold my arms up. It was heavy, but I was strong enough to hold it up. The next thing I remember was that I was holding the gun and pointing it at my ex-husband's mistress. She was wearing a linen robe with kind of feathers along the seams. I think it was pink. She was lying down next to the bed and screaming at me. I was standing in the bathroom doorway. I was pointing the gun at her and she was grasping the bedsheets as she lay on the floor next to the bed. And I just pulled the trigger and the bullet went through her hand, making a large wound in the middle of her hand. The next thing is that my ex-husband is standing next to me and he is so angry and shouting at me. Throughout this whole time, I am not experiencing any emotions. I was just a robot. He was quite a large man and he was wearing blue pajamas. I heard the police cars coming and I knew I had to leave as soon as possible. The next thing I saw was that I was sitting in a barn surrounded by animals and I'm feeding a goat from my hand. At this point, I seem to be middle-aged. I'm wearing something on my head that I think is what nuns wear. I've got a rosary around my neck. It's a really small stable, and I can kind of see through the wall that there is a small church. It's as though in this life I have found God and repented for my act. It was then that the hypnotherapist asked me what happened next, and I moved on to another life. I was standing outside a house, and I had a Roman soldier either side of me and they were holding onto my arms. I was outside a safe house. This is where Christians could hide from the Romans. I feel this is days after Jesus had been crucified. They were holding on to me so they could get to my brother. I am female in this life. They are holding on to me really tightly. They have dragged my brother out and thrown him into the back of a horse-drawn carriage. All I can think is, God will save us. If he really loves us, he will help us. I know, because I have seen the Messiah, and I know he came back. And he helped thousands of people, so he should help us. The two soldiers left, and I watched the carriage go away. The next thing I know, I've jumped forward, and I'm sitting as a spectator in an arena. And I'm sitting there waiting for this thing to start. I'm shaking, and I'm thinking, God will save us. God will save my brother. In front of me, there was a man dressed in purple robes. I'm feeling confident my brother will be fine. My brother comes out, and then he is followed by a man that is so much bigger than him, and he is dressed in full Roman soldier uniform. He has an X-shaped scar on his abdomen. This man has a sword and a shield, and he is very muscular. My brother has a horrible piece of leather armour, but the soldier has metal armour and a helmet. My brother has a shield and a sword, but he does not know how to use them as he is a peaceful man. He is a Christian, and fighting is not something he knows about. He followed the Messiah. The bigger man moved forward, and my brother didn't try to defend himself. He just threw his arms open wide, and the sword just goes straight through his chest. The whole crowd erupts with applause. For me, time seems to stop, and he is just frozen there. And I feel God has failed me because he didn't help my brother. God has failed me. So I am now an unmarried woman with no man to look after me. The next thing I know, I've jumped forward in time. I'm with the man in the purple robe. I'm in a big house with big marble pillars. He is talking at me and I can't hear what he is saying. I'm in a white dress and sandals on my feet. I have a golden ribbon around my waist. I am just zoning out as I can't process what has happened. I'm thinking about how God didn't save my brother, and I feel I was lied to. I had heard about Lazarus, and I thought my brother could be brought back. Two Roman soldiers enter the room dragging a man. I don't know who it is. There is a moment when I look up and the sunlight is too bright. I can't see the man they were bringing to me. I am just a peasant girl, so why am I here, and why is this man being brought to me? The man in purple was a Roman senator, and he has taken me in and is protecting me. I keep asking myself why Jesus didn't bring my brother back. I live in fear, worried that they will find out I was a Christian. But I just kept up a pretense to stay alive, pretending to be a loyal member of the Roman Empire. And it's at that point that the life just seems to fade away, and I don't see what happens next. I find these kinds of memories are typical of past life regressions. There is a narrative of a life that is not famous, and they have profound meaning to the individual. This person tells me that they were in tears throughout much of the session and were surprised at the intense emotions. So for the second half of this episode, what I thought I'd do is play for you the first half hour of a Life Between Lives session that I did with Wendy Rose Williams. It starts off just after the hypnotic induction, where I'm taken through to the very first part of the process where I go to a past life.
Find yourself in a significant scene in the most recent past life or most important one for you to explore. Be there now. First, I'd like you to tell me if it's day or night. What do you sense or perceive?
It's day.
It's day. Wonderful. What's happening?
I think it's several hundred years ago.
Okay.
On a cart, standing up on the back.
Yes.
It's going through a village. The villagers are all around the cart, and they're very angry with me, and they're shouting.
Well, know that you're very safe and protected, and you're visioning very clearly. Do you get a sense of why those villagers are angry and shouting?
witch.
Ah, okay, okay, okay. Are you aware of what you're wearing?
Yeah, so I'm a female in this life.
Yes.
Just dressed as a woman would be in that time period.
Okay. I'd like you to look down at your feet and tell me what, if anything, you see on your feet.
Very crude canvas slippers.
Do you have a sense of your name?
Elsie.
Elsie. Very good. You're doing very well, Elsie. Know that you're very, very safe and protected. How old are you?
25.
And it feels like a few hundred years ago. Do you have a sense of your geography?
Yeah, I'd say it's in England. Although I say that and then the word Germany comes straight to my mind.
That's just fine. That's just fine. So it may be England, it may be Germany. Yeah, don't question. Just continue to receive the information as powerfully and beautifully as you are. So it's either England or Germany. As you look around you, what else do you notice as you're very concerned about being on this cart and the villagers are angrily shouting witch at you? What else do you notice?
It's cold and wet. The mud is very sloppy. I'm standing up and my hands are tied behind my back.
Okay.
And I'm getting a sense that there was a dog that was hurt and thought to be dead, and I nursed it back to health.
And is that what led to the accusation?
Yeah, they think it was witchcraft.
Oh my goodness. There's certainly been a lot of misinterpretation of healing as witchcraft. All right, my goodness. All right, you're doing very, very well, Elsie. So thank you for caring for that hurt dog. And it's cold and wet and muddy. You're now standing with your hands tied behind your back. Know that you're an eternal soul. You're perfectly safe. And let me know what happens next.
Fire.
Okay. Okay. All right. So there's a fire. And do you perish in that fire?
Yes. I feel that I left the body before the fire.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Wonderful. What a great choice and outcome. So you didn't need to suffer beyond that moment of knowing what was going to happen. All right. So you left that body. And how do you feel in the last few moments of that lifetime?
It just feels angry and scared.
Understandable. So you're feeling angry and scared. Was there anyone there with you at that time? Was there any friendly face, any loved one? Or did you really feel that you went through this alone with the angry mob?
I was alone.
What I'd like you to do now is we're going to pass over from that lifetime. We're going to move away from that lifetime and leave that body. I'm going to count from 1 to 3. And on the count of 3, it's going to be a few moments after the passing of that lifetime. 1, 2, we're moving through that time. 3, it's now after that lifetime. Be easily out of the body. Where are you in relation to the body?
I'm above it now.
You're above it.
Moving very quickly upwards.
Okay.
And there's three or four spirits, entities with me, and they're smiling.
Wonderful. You're doing great. You're doing great. And how are you feeling at this moment as you move away from that body? What are your thoughts at the end of that lifetime?
A feeling of shock, feeling like this can't be happening.
So there's some shock and some disbelief. So was it a very sudden occurrence?
It seems like I shot out of the body like a bullet just before the fire and just went upwards.
As you move away from your body, what's continuing to happen? Are you continuing to move, or do you feel any pulling sensation? What are you experiencing?
I'm seeing a space, almost like you're on top of the clouds, but it's all misty. And they're coming to me, these other entities. I feel that I'm at a standstill, and they're coming to me. And then they just arrive. It's like I said, I shot out of my body like a bullet. It's like they're points of light, and then suddenly they're just right in front of me.
Wonderful. Well, we'll skip over the floating because you're going straight to shooting. That's wonderful. So as those lights come closer to you and you move closer to them, is it now feeling bright or dim? Do you notice any particular colors?
I'm in the same sort of misty space, and there are six or seven men with me who used to be the lights. They're kind of dressed like you would be in ancient Greece. But they've got these cloths, large bits of cloth around their shoulders that looks very expensive with gold parts, but each one of them, the cloth is a different color.
What are some of the colors you're seeing on those cloths around their shoulders?
Red, green, purple. One of them is white.
Okay. Well, describe what you see, continue to see now, and feel. Tell me how you're feeling about this, and tell me what happens next.
It feels like they're greeting me, and they're very happy, and they're very old friends. It's one of them is a woman. She's saying, "I am you." I don't know what that means.
And are you able to see any facial features on them?
Yeah, they're at different ages. A couple of those guys have got beards. One of the men's much older and more tubby and grey hair.
And do they look like they have a full body outline, or is it more just like a portion of their body that you're seeing in those clothing that looks somewhat Grecian?
I'd say it's a misty space. It's like the mist is coming up to the waist. So it could be that they have legs. I just can't see them.
And do any of them seem like someone you know? I know you said they feel like old friends.
No. But I'm getting a weird kind of message from them. It's kind of like they're saying they are me, but at the same time they're not.
Tell us more about what that means. They are you and they are not. Does that mean, I don't want to project, I'm going to ask it as a question. Does that mean that, go ahead.
I just feel it's almost like, it's like kind of like they're saying that I was them in my past lives. But at the same time, it's not that. It's like they worked with me in my past lives. But then there's the woman, she's saying, "I am you." It's a bit confusing.
Okay. Well, we'll get more clarity as we go along, if it's important. Are you receiving any telepathic communications from them that we should talk about, in addition to the messages around "I am you, but I'm not you"? Is there anything additional?
No, they're all coming to my right, and it's like they're saying, "Okay, it's time to go. You've met us now.
Do you get a sense of one of them being a guide or more soul group members? Can be either.
I'd say they'd be soul group members. They're kind of, what the impression I get is they're saying, time to move on. You've got to go and see them now.
Go see them. Are they inviting us to go to soul group, or would they like us to bring in your guide? I think that would be very helpful to bring in your guide right now. Could we do that?
Yeah, I think that's what they mean. I can see a big golden globe kind of light.
Wonderful. We'll tune into that big golden globe light, and we're inviting your guide to present to you very clearly, to continue to enlighten us as we have the next steps in our journey. Do you feel that your guide is with you now?
Yes.
Wonderful. What is that like? What are your impressions?
It's strange. I'm just telling you exactly what's coming to my mind. The globe's kind of opened up, and my guide has come out, if it is my guide, looking just as I would imagine Jesus to look. And he's got a massive smile on his face, and he's dancing.
That sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful. Thank you for not questioning. Thank you for just having the confidence to report. That's wonderful. And why is he dancing?
I'm getting the thing that he's got a great sense of humor, and it's like he's saying, I'm just having some fun with you.
And how do you feel about that?
I'm laughing because I still feel like I'm that 25-year-old who was accused of being a witch, and I've just arrived here.
Does he have a message for you?
I feel like it's a message for that Elsie.
Very good. So what is that message?
Everything's going to be okay.
And how do you feel about that message?
Relieved.
Well, is there anything else that your guide would like you to know about that past life as Elsie? Were there particular goals you established for that past life, and were they met?
The first thing that comes to mind is that the life was about what it felt like at the end, the feeling of being persecuted and attacked, and also at the same time feeling that I was not at all guilty and that they were completely wrong and that just no one would listen to me.
Is there any anger or angst to release around that, or have you already been able to do so?
No, it just feels a little bit of sadness.
Were there any achievements in that life? I realized it was cut short when she was only around 25.
I just get the feeling the life was quite happy.
And know that you can really anchor that in your present life, regardless of circumstance, as surprising as that may sound. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
What was Elsie's greatest disappointment?
Not knowing love.
Again, she had a fairly short life that was interrupted rather rudely. So that's very understandable. All right. Would you, is there any comparison of that life and the last few lives that you've lived in terms of your continuing development? Is there any comments from your guide around that?
I get the impression the guide's just saying to me, hey, you're doing fine. I also, it's like the guide keeps changing. Like he's showing me different images. Every half a second is changing from, like, it's not Jesus. Then suddenly he's an old man, then suddenly he's a different character, then another one, and even Chewbacca.
Okay, and know that you're seeing very well, and you can slow down those images a bit if you need to, if you'd enjoy catching more of those. Well, let's move on to your soul group, your guide. Guides are very welcome to accompany us there. But we'd like to move on to a reunion with your soul group. Are you ready to rejoin them?
Yes.
Fantastic. Where do you all meet or gather? Be there now and tell me what you do immediately as you reunite with your soul group.
And they're all running over to greet me and then picking me up and carrying me on their shoulders. Like everybody's really pleased. It's overwhelming.
Do you see any lights? Do you see your soul group, your old friends moving around singly, or are they still in like a big cluster around you? Where are they physically in proximity to you?
They're a big cluster.
Okay. So they're a big cluster together, and are you still up on their shoulders, or are you still in the center?
No, I've moved to the side now.
Well, I'd like them to arrange themselves around you so that you can all interact together. Let me know if they arrange themselves in a line to come to you, or a circle, or a half circle.
It's a circle around me.
Fantastic. Now, please go ahead and count how many lights you see. Take your time and tell me how many there are.
I say about 20, 22.
Fantastic. And are you positioned in the center, or where are you, like a part of that circle?
I'm in the center.
You're in the center. Very good. Very good. All right. I'd like the first soul to move toward you in the center of that circle. And tell me if the being that comes forward to you first looks more male or more female. They might be androgynous.
It's one of the first group that I met. It's very male. It's got a beard, a big smile, and the red cloth around his shoulders.
And was he in the life that you just left as Elsie?
No.
Is he in your life now, today?
No.
Is it important for you to know his immortal spirit name?
There's some... I'm getting a weird, not Eki or Ek. It's on the E and K. I'm not quite getting it.
Well, you can ask him to spell it if it feels important.
I'm kind of getting Zek, Zeke. But I read that in a book a few days ago.
Right. And what is your own immortal spiritual name?
It begins with an S. It's Santha. Something like that.
And is there a particular color that your friend Zeke projects towards you? What color does it look like he might be?
Well, he's got the red cloth around his shoulders.
Okay, very good. So that's his color. And if Zeke was to hold a full-length mirror up for you, and you were to look at yourself in your pure soul state, what color or colors would you be radiating?
I can just see white with some very slight gold flickers at the edges.
Well, let's let that develop for a moment. White is such an interesting color because it contains all the other colors within it. So is that complete with those gold flickers, or are there some other colors?
Maybe slight flecks of purple as well.
Of all the souls that you see as you look around carefully in your own marvelous soul group, who is in your life today?
The woman that I saw earlier when she said, "I am you," I think she is in my life today. And I get the impression that two of them are my brothers.
And do you get a feel for who the woman is that's in your life today?
Well, what's coming immediately is Sarah.
And I'd like you to start, as you put that wonderful knowledge aside, I'd like you to start now and look again in that group again and begin with your primary soulmate and have that person come forward to you and list the significant roles that certain groups in your group most enjoy filling. Is there a person that presents as your primary soulmate?
It's the woman again.
The woman that feels like it's Sarah now?
Yeah.
What thoughts are you receiving from the group right now? Do they have any particular messages for you?
Just getting a sense of teamwork and gratitude. And that I'm helping them, some of them.
Okay, wonderful. What are the types of things you help them with?
It's being with them when they're having a life review and helping them through the difficult parts of that.
If I were a visitor to your group, is there a particular impression I would take away about all of you? Are there common characteristics?
I think it would be, like I said, when I first got there, it was like there was a party.
Mm-hmm. That party and that sense of humor. Very good.
Yeah.
Is there any common denominator of talent or interest or goals among you?
Music.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
That was the first word that came to me. I'm getting a sense of some sort of rhythm there. Yeah, and it's almost like that. Everyone there is a musician. And I can see somebody playing the violin.
Well, thank you. That was a marvelous exploration of your soul group. And I'd like to thank all of them, including Sarah, including your brothers. Very good. Do you see or sense someone nearby that's watching over your group or helping direct your group?
I can see that gold sphere up above us that I saw earlier.
Do you have any connections with souls from other groups that are in the same vicinity? They would be considered an adjoining soul group.
Yes, I get the feeling there are connections.
Are there connections you'd like to explore? We're open to that wonderful gold sphere, that guide, helping guide us in that area. Are we meant to explore souls on the periphery, some adjoining soul groups?
I get the feeling that my mother in this life is in one of the adjoining groups.
We can move on now, and we are able to visit the council, and you can also invite soul group members if you like to, and we're able to visit the Council of Elders. These are very loving, very wise beings. There's never harsh criticism. We're always our own harshest critic. Would you like to visit the Council of Elders?
Yeah, I feel like I've already arrived there.
Well, let's get oriented and feel into whether you're going to go by yourself or if someone typically will go with you.
I'm there with my guide on my right, and on the left is the woman.
So your guide is on your right and the woman is on your left. Very good.
And the guide has his arm around my shoulders, a sort of supportive, comforting way.
And are the three of you standing as you arrive at the Council of Elders? Are they located in a chamber or room, or do you feel more outside in nature?
We're standing in front of them, and it's like a small, you know, Roman amphitheater? And they're all sitting at different levels.
And look around you at the Council of Elders that are there to support you and provide you with marvelous insights as you see them seated at different levels in the amphitheater. How many of them are there? How many beings do you see there?
I'd say about 30.
About 30. Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. And are they standing in the amphitheater or are they seated?
They're seated.
They're seated. Very good. Very good. And look closely at the Council of Elders that are there to support you. Do you see any gender characteristics among them, or are they more androgynous, or do you have a mixture of males, females, androgynous, as you look at those 30 faces and bodies there to support you?
It's a mixture of male and female.
And how are they dressed? Are they dressed differently than one another or more the same?
It's more the same like before. It's like they're Greek clothing.
Do you have the sense that one elder might serve as the chairperson or the moderator or director of the proceedings?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And where is this being located in relation to the others?
He's right at the bottom.
Okay. So is he kind of like the closest to you then?
Yeah.
Is there anything different about the surroundings here since your last visit? Or is it essentially, you know, the same or very similar type of amphitheater?
I just feel like it's bigger.
Oh, it's bigger. Okay. Well, 30 is a wonderful, number for that council. Do you have a sense that your council will be quote, easy on you this time, or do they appear in any way a little bit more severe?
It does feel a bit more severe. It feels almost like they're saying, what are you doing here? Why have you come?
Okay. And are they asking that question specific to the Elsie life, because she came home unexpectedly and suddenly at age 25? Or are they more asking that to your eternal soul?
It sort of feels like they're saying it to Simon, to me.
Well, all communication will continue to be telepathic, so we would like to invite that council meeting to get underway. What's the first thing you hear in your mind, and who addresses you first as you're now here before your council?
What I'm getting is, you shouldn't be here. Now is not the time.
Okay. We completely respect the Council of Elders. Would they like us to leave the council meeting at this time?
Yes.
Do they not wish to have a council meeting at this time?
That's right. He's pointing.
Thank you. So he's showing us the door, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay. That's absolutely fine.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Past Lives podcast. This week has been a little different to the thing that we usually do here. And don't forget, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so through Patreon. For a donation of $2 a month, your support would help cover the production costs. And on the $5 tier, you get access to the weekly bonus episodes, the occasional extended episodes, and the Growing Back catalogue. Visit the homepage of my website, www.pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk, and click on the Become a Patron button. Or go to patreon.com/pastlivespodcast. And don't forget, you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/pastlivespodcast. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Another thing is that the podcast is also on YouTube. There's no video, it's just the audio, but there's another way to access the episodes if you want to. I am on Instagram and Twitter, and if you want to find me, the Twitter name is @SimonGBown. You can message me there or on Facebook, where you'd be very welcome to join the Past Lives Podcast Facebook group. And if you enjoy the podcast, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.